Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingrid. Your daily lover, and this is Richard Elliott, Summer Madness Sound.
Thank you.
Oh my God, you couldn't hear anything. I apologize. Good morning, family. You are tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover. And we're going to get ready to call in the divine energy, recognizing that there is only one power and one spirit. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. And we call it God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And we're going to get intentional right now about the breath, because sometimes, family, we forget to breathe. And there is power in the breath. So I want you to be very intentional right now, calling forth the divine presence. And I want you to breathe, family. There is power in the breath. So I want you to breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. I want you to breathe again, family. Let's do it again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And breathe. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And as we call in the energy of forgiveness, recognizing that there is power in releasing and letting go and forgiving. Together, forgive.
Day 14, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself for judging my partner and ex-partner. Dear God, once again, I lay my weapons down. This time, I really mean it. This time, I really open my heart. This time, I really surrender my hurts and judgments. This time, I ask for and open myself to know the part of me that is being revealed in the behavior of my partner and my ex-partner. I ask to know and see it. I ask to acknowledge and heal it. I forgive myself for making this so hard on myself and for blaming someone else for the pain I have endured. I let it be, and so it is.
Thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity to expand on the prayer that our sister Ariana Van Zant so eloquently laid down, God. We take this right here before you, Holy Spirit. Father, Mother God, blessed in Holy Spirit, and all the forces in the universe are called forth in this right now moment.
all of our ancestors, ascended masters, spirit guides, master guides, archangels, and all the energy and forces in the universe, I give thanks right now. Come before you this morning, asking that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart will be so acceptable right now, God. I just come to you and say thank you. Thank you, God. Father, Mother, God, I ask you this morning for a special prayer around Rochelle Knox. As you bless her body, God, as you bless her mind, God, as you bless her peace right now, God, as you bring peace where there's no peace, God, remove all the pain and suffering, God, and as you move through, as you dispatch your legion of angels in the hospital around her today, God, I just give thanks for her healing presence, God, and that your will and her will be aligned. In the mighty, matchless name of you, Holy Spirit, I ask you to bless each and every person under the sound of my voice this morning. God, I ask you to come and bring forth a fresh anointing upon us this morning. God, I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a fresh anointing upon each and every one of us right now, God, as I ask you to open up and bless us right now, God. I ask you to open up your windows, your gates, your heaven, and pour down a blessing upon us that it won't be enough room to receive it. In the mighty, matchless name of you, Holy Spirit, I ask you for a fresh anointing, fresh revelation, new wineskins, God, fresh oil, God. I ask you to come right now, God, and bless our thoughts, that we may experience you in our thoughts today, God. Oh, come, God, and bless our emotions, that we may feel you in our heart today, God, that we may experience your presence, Holy Spirit, that we can remove all of our suffering and experience the wholeness of you in us, as us, all around us right now, God. I ask you to come in this line and speak to somebody's mind today, God. I ask you to come and speak to somebody's heart today, God. I ask you to come today, God, and bless somebody today with your word, Holy Spirit. Somebody came that they might be blessed today, God, as I call forth the blessings and the anointing of Abraham, that we'll be so blessed that even the blessed will call us blessed, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a blessing and anointing of Esther right now, God. I'm calling forth the blessing and the anointing of Solomon, God. I'm calling forth the blessing and the anointing of David right now, God. I'm asking you to come and bring forth the blessings and the anointing of Christ upon our life right now, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come, Father, and open up your window, open up your gates, open up your heavens, open up and pour down a blessing upon us right now, God. Oh, of love, joy, success, happiness, money, substance, God, I'm asking you to come and bless us right now, God. Somebody came to be blessed by you today, God. I'm asking you to come, God, and do your will, God, upon this line right now, God. And those who are in this line right now and feel something about something that needs to be prayed upon, God, that I may not know the words to pray, but you know what needs your children have today. I ask you to bring forth the blessings of those needs, desires, and wants right now, God, with no holdups, no delay, knowing that you are God, knowing that you are all that there is, Holy Spirit, and we shall look to the hills, God, to the presence and to the source of the well of all great things, knowing that you will supply all of our desires right now, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and clothe our ideas, God, in the spiritual realm and bring them into the visible realm, God. I'm asking you to come forth and fill up the stony pots in the brim, to the brim and to the overflow right now, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a well of abundance, God, that will just flow in from the east, the west, the north, and the south, Holy Spirit. Boast open that experience, that our blessings come right now, God. I'm asking you to bless and anoint our feet, God, that everywhere we tread, our feet shall be upon your holy ground, God, that the blessings don't get there until we get there, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and bless and anoint our knees, God. Bless and anoint our bodies, God. Bless and anoint our bodies right now, God. I'm asking you to bless and anoint the blood in our body flow, God. I'm asking you to bless and anoint every living system in our being right now, God, and return ourselves into its highest vibratory energy right now, God. I'm asking you to bless and anoint our homes right now, God. Put your dispatch, your legion of angels around our homes today, God. I'm asking for an upgrade, an up level right now, God, in our spiritual realm, God. I'm asking you to come right now and send forth a special anointing upon us right now. Bless the love journey line. Expand our territory, Holy Spirit. Bless and anoint the sunrise service, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless the grounds that we walk on, God, that we will feel the presence of you soon as we step our feet on the ground, God. I'm asking you to bless the soil, God. I'm asking you to bless the atmosphere around us, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and dispatch a legion of angels around the place of blessing where the 10th annual sunrise service will be provided to explore and make manifest the glory of your love, God, through us, and seeing your beauty and your presence in the sun rising, to see your beauty and your presence in the sky, in the water, in the grass, in the sand, God, to see your love made manifest through the people dressed in white and all the performers and all those who will come to near and far to experience your greatness in the 10th annual sunrise service. God, I'm asking you to bless it right now, God. I'm asking you to bless it right now, God. I'm asking you to bless the atmosphere, the sun, the moon, the stars, the energy in the space, God, that it will be transforming, riveting, and healing, God. I'm asking you to come and manifest the glory of you in that space right now, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and make manifest the glory. I'm asking you to come right now, God. Oh, that the miracle work and power of Christ consciousness will be in that space right now, God. And to all those who may have a heart to come, who may not be able to come, God, bless their heart. Those who are coming, God, bless their hearts. Bless their travels. God, I'm just asking you to come and do your stuff, God, right now, God. I'm asking you to bless each and every one of our lives right now in every area of our life, God. God, I'm asking you to open up our hearts to receive your goodness and bless our eyes to receive the spiritual vision of you. And as I ask for a special prayer around the police officers, around our community, and all the things that are happening, God, may you still give us the eyes to see you in the experiences of what is happening in our plane, Earth, God. Can you still give us eyes to see through what the seemingly appearances and all the monk and the junk that seems to keep us distracted from the truth that we are never separated from you, God. And so today, God, and all the mercy that is placed upon this land, God, I ask you to bless the families of those lives that have been taken, God, from guns, God. I'm asking you to bless our environment right now, God, and send mercy into the families and friends of those who have lost their loved ones. I'm asking you to bless the earth, God. I'm asking you to bless the minds of those who have the authority to move a gun and decide whether they want to shoot it and take a life or not, God. I'm asking you to come and give us a mindset that will release us from the idea of wanting to take a life, but to expand the life and figure out how we can show love and show them how to heal, God. Let us be healers on this planet in different ways, God. I want you to give us a different way to think about how to remove the idea of the gun being the first choice, God. I'm asking you right now, God, to give us witty ideas and witty inventions on how to move from a place of violence into a place of peace, God. How to move in from a place of unrest to a place of rest, God. How to take the mess and make a message right now, God. How to take the test and make a testimony, God. I'm asking you to come and heal the land today, God. I'm asking you to come and heal the hearts of the people today, God. I'm asking you to release your dispatch, your legion of joyful angels around the planet,
house by house, block by block, city by city, nation by nation, and the world enters into a space of joyful love just by the prayers that are sent by your righteous today, God. I ask you to send and rain down an energy of love and joy among the people today, God. They know and will feel your presence in their life and experience you in their heart, God. I pray this prayer from a place of love, knowing that nothing but God shall show up on this planet, and that everything is working out for the good of all concerned. And we pray this prayer knowing that nothing shall return void, knowing that your promissory note in the Bible said that even before I prayed, you will answer, God. Even before I called, you shall answer, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, in the mighty, matchless name of Christ Jesus. I pray, and so it is. Good morning, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and I'm going to start off with Kim, Jesus, and then we're going to read from The Science of the Mind. Good morning, family. Thank you for tuning in. This is Kim right here on The Love Journey.
Save my life.
Jesus.
hand of strength. If it wasn't for Jesus,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I wouldn't be here today. I don't deserve
it.
Lord, I know that you're worth
it. So I just ask
Jesus. Just ask Jesus.
And I keep on asking Jesus.
Just ask Jesus. I know. Lord, I know
you set me free.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You can call on Jesus.
You can call on
Jesus.
When you need a friend. When your brother can't be found. You can call on
Jesus. You don't know like I know.
You can call on Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, A Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Kim right here on The Love Journey, family. We're getting ready to read from The Science of the Mind. Science of the Mind. Today is July 16th. Wow. Wow, family. Pushing into or pushing through is today's conversation on The Science of the Mind. Eckhart Tolle once said, the intensity of the pain depends on the degree of resistance to the present moment. Oof, let me say that again. The intensity of the pain depends on the degree of resistance to the present moment. In a book called This Thing Called You on page 84, it says, don't fight your fears, see through them. There's nothing in God's world to be afraid of. There's some interesting stuff here, isn't it? Yeah. We talk a lot about not pushing into things, about knowing when to walk away from something that is not supporting us, whether it's a dysfunctional relationship we're determined to fix, a high-paying but unfulfilling job we're convinced we can learn to love, or lifestyle that impresses friends but leaves us empty. We must know when to say when. Pushing into something that no longer serves us is like having your best pass intercepted in the end zone again and again and again during the Super Bowl. However, as important as it is not to push into something that's not meant for us, it's equally important not to confuse pushing into something, a practice that keeps us stuck with pushing through a situation, a process that helps us grow and evolve. So how do we make that call? How do we know the difference? After all, even when we're heading in the right direction, obstacles and detours may still appear along our path. Unlike something we're pushing into, something we're pushing through will always pass. Will this empower me? Is the task to ask yourself. You see, once I get to the other side of this experience, would I be more loving, more connected with God? I have a better understanding of this human experience and my individual life purpose? A yes answer points you in the right direction. There's work ahead, but you will be fully supported by Spirit every step of the way. Today's affirmation is, I welcome experiences that support, sustain, and empower me while helping me grow. I am in the flow, supported by Spirit in everything I do. I am in the flow and supported by Spirit in everything I do. Come on, Holy Spirit. I am in the flow and supported by Spirit in everything I do. Family, repeat that with me. I am in the flow and I am supported by Spirit in everything I do. Let's say that again. I am in the flow, and I am supported by Spirit in everything I do. I am in the flow,
by Spirit in everything I do. Thank you, God. Whew. I want you to marinate on that. What does it mean to be supported by Spirit? What does it really mean to fully be supported by Spirit? You know, it's interesting. For those of you who know my godmother, she is in the hospital in ICU right now. And I was just thinking about when I was visiting her this weekend, over the weekend in the hospital, I was thinking about the unhappiness of so many people and how it manifests in our bodies and how it takes us in through. You know, I often talk about forgiveness. I often talk about letting go. I often talk about that everything has a divine message in our life. You know, there really is a message in the divine storm. But so many of us get stuck on Unforgiveness Street, on Pain Street, on They Did Me Wrong Street, and They Not No Good Street, and never looking to the fact that the universe is always, always bringing us everything for our own good. Think about a divine storm and how we let those divine storms take us out when they really meant for us to be able to overcome, upgrade our life through the divine storms. That's what storms are all about. They only come to help guide us, push us in the right direction. Storms are saying to you, I'm nudging you, pushing you away from things that are not for your highest good. I was on an interview yesterday on Zoom, you know, over in London. And one of the questions was asked to me, what does it really mean to be God on the planet? And one of the ladies said that, you know, it's really about surrounding yourself with the right people and all that stuff. I said, but it's easy to be God when you're around the right people. But can you be God and exhibit love around the people who sometimes irritate the mess out of you? Can we still be acceptance of people who don't think like us, who don't feel like us, who don't agree with us, who have different points of view? Can we still be an acceptance and be unconditionally loved in those same spaces? And that's what life is really the journey of. Really is most importantly, the journey is about us loving who we are as we are in this right now moment. And people come to take us back to that inner self. When someone is in your life irritating you, then the question is, what inside of me I need to learn from this experience of irritation? What is this irritation causing me to learn in this right now moment? Because life is really a reflection of ourselves. And it's an easy conversation, but not a necessarily the best walk, because it's so easy to say, yeah, girl, you see what they did to me, he did to me, she did to me, and all this, and become the victim instead of taking accountability for our own life. As I listen to the stories of the people in the hospital and I hear the pain, the emotional distress that people are in, and as I think about the emotional distress that people are in, I wonder, when will people really take time to really honor themselves and just find the joy and the peace in being I remember looking for love outside myself. I remember looking for validation outside myself. I remember the need to be seen and the need to be loved and the need. And it was such a great, devastating portion of my life. And not to say that, you know, it was bad, but it was a lot of times feeling pain and finding myself stuck again and keep finding myself in the same situation and pattern over and over again, only because I wanted to be loved and needed to validate, to be validated by somebody else, because I wasn't validating myself, because I wasn't loving myself, because I wasn't accepting of myself. And self-acceptance was a big one for me. Because it's so easy to compare what beauty is to what you look in these magazines and body types and skin colors and types of hair and all these things that seem to be beautiful. And in that perception of beauty, when you don't fit into that standard, you don't feel good enough. I remember feeling all of that, trying to understand why I've been good to this person, why they do me this way. And only to find, like my grandmother said, people don't treat you the way you treat them, they treat you the way you treat yourself. Ending up in those divine storms changed my life. I wouldn't give nothing from those divine storms. Now, think about a divine storm. I think about, as I define it, basically everything in your life seems to go crazy. It's a crisis you didn't see coming. Sometimes it lasts a day, a week, a year, longer. It can be hugely painful. One of, you know, money might be running away. You can't seem to get a job. A close friend passed away. And you sort of feel like, is God against me? Is someone following me around, purposely sabotaging my life? You see, I call that a divine storm because from a spiritual perspective, it really is God trying to get your attention. And you definitely know when you're in the divine storm. You can think of it like driving on the highway. When you start getting off the road, there are these diverts. Some of us have to go over the cliff before we say, hey, should I pay attention to the signs back there? And you just always get these signs. But the purpose of the divine storm is to help us find our calling, to get back on track. The crisis reveals patterns that need to be healed or addressed so we can live out our purpose. And whatever that might be, it's sort of a wake-up call to how you spend it in your life. A lot of times you realize I actually have some past trauma that I haven't worked through. It's not just a bunch of random stuff happening to me because I'm a bad person. I like to say that the universe has shaken me to awaken me, though. Has this ever happened to you? I'm sure, absolutely. The first giant storm came when I was about 22 years old. I just got released from a job. I felt like the world had chewed me up and spit me out. I was living in Hyde Park. My mom had stole my money that I used to keep in my Bible. And it was just a real interesting set of circumstances. I was like 21, 22, and it was my first time out here trying to figure out how to pay bills. And my rent money was in the Bible. And I had just started doing mortgages. And I was going to a closing that day that we was getting put out. when I went to the closing, I had a new Escalade GT. I don't know if you all remember that car. It was a 1988.5 Escalade GT, little 5-speed car. My car was filled to the brim with stuff from the house. We was getting put out, and I was on my way to a closing. So the guy who was there came out, and he was walking behind. He's like, why are your car full of stuff? I was explaining my mom stole the rent money and how we couldn't catch up the bills, you know, and all that stuff. And we were in the process of being put out right then. And he was looking at me like, what? Absolutely. And I remember driving that day, asking God for direction. It was painful to feel that someone you love, Berthy, could steal your money out your butt. I had $2,000 and my rent was only $550 or something like that. Pretty beautiful hardwood floors, bay windows overlooking the lake. It was a beautiful apartment, 2-bedroom, kind of small kitchen, but a big guy in the room. And I remember thinking to myself as I was driving from Hyde Park around after I left the closing, I remember thinking to myself as I was riding around with all my stuff in the car, still putting stuff in other cars and trucks. I was thinking about God, how and why. You see, I wasn't that savvy about life. I wasn't taught about bank accounts. I wasn't taught how to really manage things. And now this is my first time out the gate, not living in a foster care or living with my sister or living in somebody else's home. I did have my daughter, Diamond, my first daughter, and I was trying to figure things out, and it felt so hard because there was no one to help me navigate it. You know what I'm saying? No one, you know, like my children have me, no, well, this is a choice. We can talk things out, I suggest, but sometimes they don't take my suggestion. But even if they don't take my suggestion, they fall on their feet, they know they got me to come back to. You know, it was really difficult because I didn't have no one to call, no one to talk to, no one to figure out life with. And I was crying all through the juncture after I left the closing and everything. I was crying because I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with my daughter? My daughter is like 1 or 2 years old at this point, and I'm trying to figure, I want to be a good mother. I don't want to be moving from place to place and not be able to keep up with stuff. And what I learned in that process, but I didn't do what I should have done, was put my mom out. And I often wonder why I let my mom stay with me so long with a drug addiction when I knew she had a drug addiction. But for some reason, the little girl in me wanted my mom to be with me and near me. But she wasn't conducive to a healthy. And I don't know, I often wonder why I stayed stuck in that space. Because even when I moved out and got myself back together, you know, bought me my first house, guess who lived with me? My mom again. But I often wondered, was that little girl in me who just wanted to help, who wanted to help her, who wanted, I thought my love could be enough. But I kept getting myself frustrated because in the end, the spirit of the drug was never going to allow her to be present for me in the way that I wanted her to be present for me. But the one thing that I had to learn and that I realized when I was watching, as I watched nobody come to really visit Rochelle, as I watched people in this hospital spent 6 to 7 hours in that hospital and nobody coming to visit the people who were passing away. And I thought about my experience with my mom and how we were there for her. But I'm telling you, forgiveness, it's so powerful. And the reason why I'm saying this story is because I watched one time I was in a hospital with Asia in the emergency room, and I was praying over Asia. And the lady in the next section, because this was the emergency room, was dying from cancer. So she heard me praying, and she asked the nurse to ask me to come over there and pray for her. And she told me her story that was interesting. She was dying from cancer. She was an older lady, but she was you could tell that in her younger days she was beautiful. Beautiful lady. And she told me, she said, you know, I heard your prayer. I want to know if you would pray for me. She said, I'm dying, and I'm dying alone because I didn't know how to let go. I'm dying alone because I didn't know how to forgive and be in acceptance of what was. You see, I wanted to control how things turned out. And I guess as she lay there in her transitional peace, she realized that unconditional love means not, but it means to be in acceptance. You know, so many times, and I get back to why I was talking about my mom, as I watch, now listen to this story. Rochelle is about 70 years old. Her mother is 90-something years old. Both her and her mother are in the hospital at the same time. Her mother is in ICU. She is in ICU. And I'm thinking to myself, now she had an issue with her mom growing up because her mom was kind of an abusive mom. He put her in closets and made her sit in the dark. And if she threw up in her food because she didn't want to eat it, she made her eat it anyway. She was jealous of her dad and her relationship. So she really mistreated Rochelle growing up. And I saw Rochelle move quickly into dissent when her mother had to come live with her and she had to take care of. And I constantly told Rochelle that this is a divine way for you to learn to forgive right now. This is the opportunity for you to find the blessing in the relationship between you and your mom. But she could never get there because she was still holding on, even though she told me, I forgive my mom. That she didn't really forgive her mom, because many times I would call her and she would be in a blank, dank space. But the part I'm trying to get to is that I remember thinking when I was experiencing my mom in a younger, by the time my mom was getting ready to make her transition, I was in total forgiveness of her, and we had a different, my energy with her was different. But what I was thinking about is the need for us to have our people, our parents show up the way we want, or the people we love to show up the way we want them to show up, opposed to just being in total acceptance of who they are. I'll give you an example. I wanted my mother to be the type of mother that I could call and she would have a home I could come to, and I could lay my head in her shoulder, arms, and just talk to her about my experience, and we just have this phenomenal relationship. She loved me and I love her. Because I wanted my mother to be nurturing and caring and all the things that she couldn't be, because she couldn't be to herself. But I wasn't in total acceptance of the fact that my mother was on a journey trying to heal herself too. Because some reason we have an idea that parents should show up a certain way. We have an idea that they super people, superhuman, super. And I'm going to say this. To me, it seems like they have more expectation. We as children and as parents, children seem to have more expectation from the mother to be a superhero. They seem to be more acceptance of the dad, but not so much of the mother. Because we have a certain expectations for mothers to show up and do it all right all the time. And so then we go angry and being angry, constantly angry about somebody who couldn't show up the way we wanted them to show up, because we don't realize they're on a healing journey just like we are. And we're part of their healing experience as much as they're part of our healing experience. Ask me where I'm going here. I don't know, but this is just a conversation that came up. And so I see people live such an unhappy life. And that little girl inside them and that little boy inside of them search for love outside themselves, thinking that all the anger that they're still holding on from the mother or the father wounds are causing them to show up in how they navigate relationships and expectations from people who don't even know they have these expectations of them. And we expect people to show up the way we wanted them to show up, because we want people to be what we want them to be in, instead of being unconditional love. and allow people to be what they need to be for the highest and best good for their own unfoldment. And even as a parent, it's hard sometimes to watch our children walk down a path and unfold in a path that's not necessarily the path that you would love for them to go down. Addiction is running rampant. Our kids are smoking some of these blunts in ways and every day and all the time, and it don't even smell like the kind of weed when I was growing up. They're so blunted out. Because that's all they do all day. A lot of these children are just totally blunted out. I don't even know if that's a word. They're so high that they numb to life. And I wonder sometimes, how can you live a numb life every day, all the time? I remember when I heard the story of Mastin Kemp talking about his drug addiction when he went through a big divine storm. He had a big fight with his ex-girlfriend. It was about 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning. He was driving home to Santa Monica after a big fight. He was high as a kite. He said he made a turn into a Ventura Boulevard and cut off a police officer, the only other driver on the road. He knew he was screwed up in that moment. He said, I just decided to pray. He said, and where that thought came from, I have no idea. I just said, dear God, if you help me get through this, I'll quit. He said the cop pulled him over. He explained the situation. I didn't lie. I said I was tired and had been fighting with my ex. He let me go. I knew the moment, that moment was a handout from God, as if he was telling me, hey, kid, wake up. And on the drive home, he said he felt the presence in the car with him. I didn't know what it was at the time, but it convinced me that I had to change, that the next time I wouldn't be so lucky. But he said, did I change? He said, that's the thing about logic. I mean, that's the thing about addiction, he said. All promises go out the door. Days later, I was in my apartment, he said, at 3 a.m., and he felt the urge to use again. He spent the whole night drinking. I went to cut up a line of cocaine, but I physically couldn't do it. He said, something wouldn't let me consume any more drugs. It was as if a force had taken up residence inside my body and was preventing me from doing it, like I wasn't in control of myself. It was the same presence I felt in the car on that boulevard, with a deep knowing that if I did use again, I would die. He said, I couldn't prove it because I didn't want to find out. I didn't want to die. I flushed the drugs down the toilet, he said, and he said, I'm not the person who has this visceral, very visual spiritual experiences, but in the instant it was so obvious to me that there was a higher presence in that room, and it felt so much clearly, he said, like Christ. He said it felt like the Christ. He said, I wanted to figure out how to feel as good off the drugs as I felt on them. He said, I come to find that addicts are really people looking for God in all the wrong places. And that was an aha moment for me. When I had heard Mastin say that, I believe addicts are people looking for God in all the wrong places. He said he began his spiritual study and he asked God to show me my purpose. He said, and then he started an inspirational t-shirt company to share all the spiritual truths he uncovered. He said it did well at first, but then within a week, everything went bust. My business partner left. The new girl I was dating left. The business crumbled. My roommate moved out. I got gout in my left toe. My lower back went out, and all that happened over maybe 6 days. And I kept thinking to myself, I'm not dumb or smart enough to do all this to myself.
There has to be something else going on here. That's when I heard the voice of, he said, Carolyn Mintz. He said he had been studying, dying. During his recovery, he said he had been studying, saying that this is happening for you, not to you. Thought to himself, now that's the part that was really, this is the interesting part about when I heard his story, when he was saying this. I know people be like tripping on how I tell stories, but this is just me being me. He said, when he heard that, this is happening for you, not to you, his first reaction was, it's easy for you to say that. You're not the one with all these problems. He said he began to write. And he began to write messages of love to encourage others. And it began, it ended up being the answer to his prayer. And he said something really interesting. Sometimes things going wrong can actually be them going right. Sometimes things going wrong can actually be the answer to your prayers. He said, it's in a divine storm that we only be able to sense if you're distracted, addicted, or in some unhealthy behavior pattern. You're definitely not paying attention to the divine. You're checking Facebook likes, doing drugs, and the endless cycles of worry. But when someone is in the middle of a storm, they're vulnerable. And there's an opportunity to make a choice. Either you're going to keep going or you're not. When you bow to your knees, like that, it's an encounter with the divine. And every time I, this is me speaking now, this is not him. Every time I've ever encountered upon a divine storm that brings me to my knees, I often think about the song, Lattimore, Stormy Monday. That's how I came up with the idea of the divine storm. He said, you know, I don't know if any, you know, you might not, everybody might not know that song by Lattimore, Stormy Monday. But it's a kind of a R&B bluesy kind of song when the guy is so devastated about life. And he say they call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. And Wednesday's worse, and Thursday's also bad. He said the eagle flies on Monday, and Saturday you go out to play. The eagle flies on Friday, and Saturday you go out to play, and Sunday you go to church and get down on your knees and pray, Lord, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy on your child. Lord have mercy on me, he said, because I'm in misery. He said, I'm trying to find my baby, but won't somebody help me today? Prayer on his knees. And I was like, so sometimes whenever I'm going through the prayer, I think about that song, Lord have mercy, I'm in misery. He said, you go down to the church and you get down on your knees and you say, Lord, Lord have mercy. So many times I remember feeling that. Because, you know, these things will bring you to your surrendering point. Because the way I'm doing things is not working. I remember many times being brought down to my knees where the wind was brung out of my body and I just didn't know God. Because in your vulnerable space, that's when we get the opportunity to really see God. And you be praying, God, can you just send a gust of wind, though, God? Can you just bless me? For some people, sure, I'm sure sometimes storm is in direct proportion to how stubborn we are and how resistant we are to really allowing ourselves to just grow and expand. And it don't always have to be. But to make a move, storms really stress the importance of intuition. And if we don't pay attention to what our heart is telling us, then we get divine rain showers or a divine lightning bolt, and eventually the divine storm just take over. It's trying to bring us to surrender point where we say the way I'm doing things is not working. Show me a better way. But not you stubborn as a part of everyone's storm. We can call it a divine storm, a dark night of the soul, or just an ordeal. At the end of the day, it's an archetypal in nature where everyone at some point in their life. And what did how we survive the storm? The part of it is understanding that these, whatever the crisis is, whatever, whether it's death of someone you love, a business that's not working out, a relationship that failed, it's just part of what happens in life. And you know what's interesting about pain? Pain will make you think you're special. Pain will make you think you're the only one going through, and nobody understands, but millions of people have gone through what you've gone through. You're not special. Pain is not a monopoly just on you. Part of what happens in life. It's part of the journey. Millions have gone through it. Millions will go through it again. So instead of focusing on the why, what's happening, focus on finding the message, the miracle in it all. Focus on finding the message or the miracle in it all. Does a miracle always have to come out of a divine storm? I think the mere fact that something is going wrong is the miracle, because it's getting your attention. Everything that happens to you can be used to help you find your purpose, which ultimately brings you closer to God. We have to start viewing not just the good stuff as the miracle, but also the stuff that we deem bad that gets you to the miracle. The whole thing is the gift. Let me say that again to you, because I know you're not getting that. A miracle don't always have to come from a divine storm, but let me tell you, I think the mere fact that something is going wrong is the miracle, because it's getting your attention. Everything that's happening to you can be used to help you find your purpose, which ultimately brings you closer to God. We have to start viewing not just the good stuff as the miracle, but also the things that we deem or call bad stuff that gets you to the miracle. The whole thing is the gift, family. You see, life is not about preventing the storm. It's about understanding what the divine is trying to express to you in that right now moment, and having the courage and the strength to face it and use it as an opportunity to grow. You see, when we get to the point where the divine storm got us on our deathbed, because we're not willing to forgive, we're not willing to let go, we're not willing to just simply ask how to fall in love so deeply with ourselves that we misuse and mistreat ourselves. You see, when we misuse drugs, we misusing our divine body temple. When we undernourish and undervalue ourselves, we misuse our body temple. And our bodies are saying to us, look, you've been misusing me for way too long. And now it's showing up in a physical ailment that got you on your deathbed, just simply because you wouldn't find the time to honor the divine gift of forgiveness, the divine gift, these body temples, the divine gift of love. Stop being angry, family. Stop finding a reason not to love, family. Heal your life. Heal your life by embracing the storm, embracing your divine storm, embracing the reasons why you were led into the direction you were led into, meaning that it's not by mistake that you had the parents you had. It's not by mistake that you had the life you had. These things come for the betterment of your good. Life is not happening against you. Life is happening for you. God is always happening for you. It is all for the best. Truly.
truly, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Family, don't wait till you get on your deathbed and you're all alone. This lady said she was all alone just simply because she couldn't accept the fact that her husband and her had broke up many years ago, and he married somebody else, and she still loved him. And she never let him know before he got into even another relationship that she still loved him and that she wanted to work things out. She had an attitude, and her angerness kept all of the people away from her. Now she's dying alone in her bed. And when your deathbed comes, as many people as I sat on the side of their bed holding their hands, watching them move into their transition, not one person ever said anything about money. Not one person ever said, I wish I had got that doggone Maserati. But they all said the one thing that was very similar. I wish I would spend more time with my family. I wish I had the courage to forgive so that I would have had the opportunity to spend with my family. I wish I had more thoughtfulness about being in acceptance. Accepting one lady had not seen her son because her son was gay. In her deathbed, she was alone because simply because she wasn't in acceptance of the fact that this was the lifestyle that he wanted to lead in his life. And I know it's not easy when our children, when we want our children to show up as men or as women. I know that's not something that's easy to accept, but we have to accept the people in our lives that we love and to love them through whatever they want to be because it's their life. At the end of the day, it's their journey. And in their journey, it's not reflecting how good or bad of a parent you are. It's just their journey. Love them anyway. You have a child that's in drugs, love them anyway. You got a child that's not showing up the way you want them to show up, love them anyway. Now, that's truly being God on the planet. Being accepted. That don't mean you let people mistreat you, walk over you, or do any of that stuff. But what I'm saying is you set your clear boundaries, but love them anyway. I had a nephew once who was hooked on drugs. And he stole everywhere he went, but he never stole from me. He was a good organizer. I paid him to organize the houses that I owned, paint and clean up, and he cleaned up really good. But every time he was referred to somebody else, he just couldn't get it together. Couldn't get it together. But that was because every time I looked at Keith, I saw Keith's greatness. I didn't see Keith as a drug addict. I saw him as a great, phenomenal, amazing, creative energy on the planet. Really bright and intelligent. And the kids loved him because in the summertime when they were out of school, I would let them put tents up in the backyard, and he would create fires and tell them stories, and they would sleep in tents, and they would create and do science projects. The kids loved and adored Keith. But it didn't stop me from loving him. It didn't stop me from accepting him. But it's difficult a lot of times when your child is, when it's your personal child. I know. But we have to grow and expand ourselves and ask ourselves. We're on this healing journey together. You're my child. I'm your mother, your parent, or whatever position you put. And the one thing that I learned is that our children's journey is our healing journey. So even though we may have a child that, you know, it's so good when I could call my friends and say, girl, my child graduated from Harvard University, and they this and that. It's good when we can say that. But, it's difficult when you call somebody and they have to say, well, you know, they're going down the path and they're growing and evolving right now. Because it's part of our ego as parents. It's just such a big part of our ego. And what I've learned is just to simply say, wherever my child is, it's all good. And be grateful that your child is graduating from Harvard, but my child not in that space right now.
And I have to learn that it's okay. Now, of course, I have three amazing daughters. But I also had to learn that if, you know, so many times I talk to people and their children wasn't in that space. And I had to learn that even if our children are not in that space, that still doesn't mean anything. Because they go into the PhD of the universe. They go into the universal presence. And that's a higher degree than any degree you can get from Harvard University. And that's sometimes how we have to look at it. Our children are in school, and maybe this drug addiction is a school for them, or maybe the wrong relationship is a school for them. It may not be such a prestigious school that we like to call like Harvard, but it's a good school because when they get out of there, they're going to have a PhD in life. So I just want us to know right now is to see our children with the eyes of love. See these divine storms, no matter what they are in our own personal life. But don't go to your deathbed angry, family. Angry to the point that you've pushed people away that love you or that you love. You only get this physical lifetime to do it this way. And the only reason we come to the planet is to learn unconditional love. It's not about your house you drive. I mean, the house you have, the cars you drive, the money you make, the diamonds and the fur coats. And even though those are wonderful experiences to live and enjoy life with, it's no fun if you don't have people you have that you love and enjoy to experience life with. And so today, family, remember the real reason and the season of life is love. Unconditional love, unconditional self-acceptance, unconditional acceptance of others. And when we can get to that place, then we can truly be God on the planet. You see, it's easy to be God with people you love. It's easy to love those that love you in similar thought patterns, but can you love those who are finding it a little bit different path than yours? Can you find love, unconditional love then? And that's when you really know that you're growing and expanding into the presence that you were meant to be on the planet, when you can be in total unconditional acceptance of those who you love, even though they may not be doing or being who you want them to be. Have any comments? Let's talk about it. The universe is moving slowly through us. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you?
I am taking in every wonderful word that you have said this morning. I got woken up early, and I tuned into you, and it's just been a blessing, everything that you've said, because it's everything that I've been going through in the journey that I'm on. And I'm going through that with a very dear friend of mine who's been in a very unhealthy, toxic relationship, and he keeps coming back and forth in my life. And that's what I'm questioning. I'm like, why? You know, I've been there for him. I'm going through that with him. And he reached out to me again, you know, days ago, and then I didn't hear from him. So then I left him, you know, a message saying, you know, sometimes when you're going through stressful things or you're going through, you know, whatever, I said, you reach out to someone. In other words, it's okay. And, you know, I haven't heard back from you, you know, so I just hope you're okay. He's cut me out of his life because of the relationship he's in. And then, you know, I won't hear from him for a month, and then I'll hear from him. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm going through. And that's why I tuned in, you know, and I'm listening to your wisdom. But I've been through everything on my journey. I lost everything. I reconnected with my family, you know, lost a lot of family members. And now I'm still going through this with my, you know, dear, dear friend. So that's what I was, you know, I wanted to gain some wisdom with, and, you know, hopefully some of your guidance.
Wow. And so what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Joanna, and I am in Florida. So about in December, and I don't mean to take up lots of your time, back in December, he said, you know, I can't maintain this friendship with you anymore because of the person that he's with. he you know, has totally influenced him and very controlling and everything. You know, I won't go into all of it, but, you know, but then he keeps reaching out to me and reaching out to me, and, you know, and then he says, but I really can't talk to you. I shouldn't be talking to you. And then, you know, and then days ago, again, he's like, you know, I keep thinking about you. I hope you're okay. And then he's trying, you know, to find avenues to speak to me, in other words, because she's got so much control over him. And then I didn't hear from him again. And I've left him messages, and I'm like, okay, you know, in other words, so that's the messages I left him with, you know, that I hope he's okay. And, you know, in other words, it was okay that he reached out to me, you know, whatever he's going through. And I mean, he knows I'm here for him, but it's just been, you know, such a struggle. And you keep hoping each time he's finally going to walk away, but I'm like, okay, he hasn't learned his lesson yet, but now I think he's starting to finally hit him, you know. And he had a very he had a milestone birthday. He just turned 50 the other day, so that was another, you know, thing as well. So that's what I'm going through right now.
Well, Joanna, that's exactly where we must give unconditional love. This is what he's choosing.
Yes.
Because we choose the path,
yes,
we must go through.
Exactly.
And so the best thing you can do for him is to be unconditional love, unconditional support. And when he's ready, because this is going to come to a fork in the road, he's going to need you to be there for him physically. But right now, if all you can do is be there in the non-physical way, then keep sending him love,
yes,
keep sending him support, and keep reminding him of his greatness. A lot of times when we find ourselves,
yeah,
in very toxic relationships, it's because we don't feel good,
yes,
enough. We don't feel,
exactly,
good enough for something that's better than that. You know, I remember when I didn't feel good enough, I remember guys who would try to date me who were phenomenal, amazing guys doing some amazing things. And because I didn't come from the same track they came from, I remember,
exactly,
going out on a date with a guy for the first time, Joanna, and we went to this exquisite restaurant. I didn't know how to eat from the right fork and the right.
Right.
And I felt not good enough, so I sabotaged the relationship.
Exactly.
And that's what happens when we don't feel good enough. We find ourselves in toxic relationships because something about us is not enough, his worthiness. And so when he begins to understand that he's worthy of a beautiful woman who wants to love him and support him, or beautiful person in his life, then that's when he'll probably be back in your life in the way that you want him,
right,
to be. But right now, you just got to let him do his journey.
His thing. Right. See, and that's one thing.
And I'm so grateful,
I'm
he got a I was going to say, I was just so grateful that he got somebody like you that's there for him.
Oh, bless you. Yes. And see, that's the one thing that I'm totally the opposite of everyone that's been in his life. And that's one thing that I've always done. I've always praised him and complimented him and tried to lift him up and supported him and, you know, had love for him and, you know, and everything like that. But right, he has to go on his journey. He has to learn this for himself. So,
mm-hmm,
you are correct. You're correct.
And so I would just, if I don't know if you, you know, how you practice your, you know, with the God or presence of however, if you have an altar, but however you practice, if you write his name down and keep love around,
okay,
him, if you have an altar, put his name on the altar and just keep sending him love and light in your heart and just keep sending him prayers of strength and courage and speak to his spirit and remind him he's a king. Remind him that,
yes,
he came to the planet to be mighty in the land, and just keep reminding him that.
Yes.
But remember to do your own work for yourself, too. It's important that you do your own self-love work and that you do work for yourself, too. You know, sometimes we can be so caught up in people we love.
Right,
and
we're not taking care,
like,
of ourselves.
I want to remind you to take care of you, Joanna, in the process.
Yes. And I'm working, like I said prior, I'm working on myself as well because I went through that, and I'm rebuilding my life and myself and, you know, being on a more positive path and working, you know, towards my goals in my life as well. So that's something I'm working on at the same time.
That's good. Keep loving you. Keep loving you. That's the most important work we can do on the planet, is to love, discover, and master ourselves.
Yes, yes, yes. Bless you so much. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your words, because they meant so much to me, because everything you spoke about this morning, and see, it was meant to be that I was up, because it means so much to me, and it is everything that I'm going through. And bless you for your wisdom and imparting it upon all of us. And thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for listening and tuning in to the Love Journey. I appreciate you too, Joanne.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
You do the same. All right, family, you tuned in to the Love Journey. That was Joanna from Florida. Thank you, Joanna. It was a pleasure to hear from you this morning. Yes, yes, yes. Anybody else with any questions, comments, concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk. And if you are on teleconference, just star 6. All right, family, I just want to remind you that the sunrise service is clear, nearer. Oh, my God. And it's been an interesting path this year. So make sure you put it on your calendar. Send me lots of love and keep me supported and keep me prayed up, family. I can use your support this year. Definitely can use your love, your support, your financial support, your love, your prayers, your whatever you got for me, I could use them this year. All right, family, I want to remind you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember the truth. Love, love is a choice. And remember that don't just dream, but live your God-sized dream. And I just want to remind you that every thought we think and every thought we keep is being heard by the universe. Our tissues hear it. The universe responds to our energy. What are you saying to yourself about yourself? What are you saying, family, to yourself about yourself? It's time for us to get out of that energy of not being good enough. It's time to get out that energy of not being worthy enough. It's time to change the thought pattern and the trajectory of how we navigate and move through the conversation in our own head. So I want to remind you, be very careful of what you're saying to yourself. The issues that's hidden in our tissues. This is
in a room this size, everyone's dressed up and we look nice and we put on whatever we could to come on and look presentable. But what you cannot see are the issues that are flowing underneath the current. I promise you, no matter how good she looks, no matter how fly she is, she's got issues. She's got these issues that she's had to learn to live with.
I didn't realize that everything that I was thinking was affecting cells in my body. I didn't realize that the things that I was rehearsing was affecting the way that I looked, the way I felt about myself, the way I carried myself, issues in the tissues.
I want to be anointed to be seen by my sister. I want my sister to know that I was insecure too. That I was in a bad relationship too. Some people touch Jesus, get the power, and then act like they never had issues. But it takes a special kind of woman, the kind of woman that I'm trying to connect with, to say, you know what, babe, I see you struggling, but let me tell you how I got my healing. I knew how to touch Jesus and then be seen. I wish that there were some women in this room and in this generation and in this world who didn't mind saying, yeah, it looks pretty now, but you should have seen how broke down, raggedy, disgusted, and insecure it was before I put the highlight and contour on. I want you to realize that before I had an incredible husband, I had raggedy, low down, no good, for nothing,
brothers in my life trying to mess up my self-esteem. I want you to know, before I got the job, that I had to work at the grocery store and I had to flip burgers. I don't want you to just see me in my heel state. I don't want you to just see Mary. I want you to see Eve. Because had it not been for Mary, there would be no Eve. And had it not been for Eve, there would have been no Mary. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, another woman needs to see. I need to see you. I need to see you. I need to connect with you. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm not going to let you fail. You're not going to be around me telling me what's going on with you. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I could never imagine. No, girl, I may have not gone through that, but let me tell you what I did go through. And let me tell you how I got healed. And let me tell you how I came out on the other side. I want to have a sisterhood of women who won't let another woman diss all while you eat all.
I want to say over your life that the enemy that you see today, you will not see that enemy tomorrow. I decree every diabolical cycle is broken. And I decree and declare that you are not only coming into new cycles, you are coming into new seasons. I decree old seasons are broken, and God is introducing you to a new season. I release the anointing of Esther upon you. I decree that it's not only your time, it is your turn.
Because I'm coming from behind, and I'm desperate to hear from you. I don't want to just be a church girl. I don't want to just be someone else who knows how to hoop and holler and dance around and goes back home and their life has never been changed. I saw a generation do that before me. I want to be a God agent. I want to be a demon shaking, soul stirring, create something down on the inside of me. I feel like y'all might want to preach a little bit today. God, do something on the inside of me that shakes up every doubt, every insecurity, every fear. I am desperate, God, to stop these issues. Can I just have 10 seconds for the desperate women? For the women who came to be cute, we'll get back to the message in a minute. But can I hear from some desperate women? Make a demand on heaven. Let God know that you're talking to me. I hear you saying something to the woman you created me to be. God, I can't let this thing take over my mind any longer. Loose your hold off of me, Satan. You have no power in my life. Loose your hold off of my family. You have no power in my life. God, give me my heart back. God, give me my mind back. God, give me passion for something other than what I see on Instagram. Put something down on the inside of me that changes this world for the better.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts. We need you to surround us in this place. Bring within us, send a refreshing, Lord. Saturate our hearts, send rain. Oh, breathe. Oh, shower down. Anybody needing a shower? Within me.
soul, I trust you. Surround us well in the